Welcome to the City Heart Podcast. I'm Pastor Kevin Reed. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that you're encouraged and enlightened by this message.
Let's jump into it. I'm just going to recap, if you weren't here last week, some of the things that we talked about. We talked about what prayer is and what it's not. And last week, we ultimately said that prayer is communication with God. It's a conversation. It's a dialogue. Yes, prayers are sent, but prayers are off. There's things that you get in return. Prayers are received by God, but he also downloads stuff to us. It's a conversation. So one of the things we talked about last week, we looked at the story of Moses and when God called Moses initially and how he, you know, sent a burning bush to catch Moses' attention. And that was God's way of saying, hey, I'm talking to you. And then Moses looks at that bush and thinks, hey, that bush is not burning up. What's going on over there? And then God and Moses have a dialogue. And then we talked about how sometimes there are things in our life where God's trying to get our attention, similar to a burning bush that's not burning, and how Moses and the people of Israel were praying for freedom, for deliverance. And when God said, okay, here's the plan, Moses was like, that's great. That's an answer to my prayer, but that's not necessarily how I wanted to do this. And so we talked about sometimes in our prayer life, God will answer our prayer, and it may not be what we think it's going to be, but that we should at least initially have that conversation with God so that we can start to get the questions to those answers. And then we looked at Psalm 18. And in Psalm 18, verses 3 and 6, it talks about how prayers are answered and how we call out to the Lord. And we'll just read it real quick. Psalm 18 says this, I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise. And in my distress, I call to the Lord. So just from that, the beginning of that verse, prayer is something that we should be doing, that God is expecting of us. And David exemplifies that. So prayer is sent. But prayer is also received. I cried to my God for help. And from his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. God hears us when we pray. So we stayed there for a little bit last week because I think that's important to know. If you're going to pray, and if I'm going to encourage you to pray, you've got to believe that your prayers are being heard and that your prayers will be answered. And we're going to continue talking about that today. So again, what is prayer? It's a communication. It's a dialogue. Prayers are sent, and God hears them, and he actually answers them. Then the next question we answered last week was, why should I pray? I am a very inquisitive person. I kind of explained this last week, too. I'm a little rebellious. And so I like to know why if you're asking me to do something. And that's going to probably come back on me with my own children asking me why all the time because I encourage that. You know, you should question. And so we answered that question last week, why pray? And we said four things. Number one, God commands it. We looked at several scriptures that says that we should pray without ceasing. And when you pray, Jesus says over and over, it's an assumption that prayer is going to be a part of your relationship with God. So number one, God commands it. Number two, we said with every command, there's a blessing. When we pray, we are blessed. We talked about if we fail to follow the command of praying, if we fail to be obedient in prayer, we fail to reap the benefit that comes from prayer, the result that comes from being obedient. So number one, we said God requires prayer. Number two, we said when we pray, we're blessed. And we talked about, for example, like instruction manuals. I gave an example last week about on my oven, there's a cook time and a start time that I could use my oven like a crock pot, set the time, and then after a certain moment, it will go off. Now, we've lived in this house for a couple of years, and I have never knew that about my oven until like 2 weeks ago. Why? Because A, did I read the instruction manual when we got this brand new oven? No, I did not. So I was missing out on a benefit of that oven. It's the same thing with our relationship with Jesus Christ. He gives us the word. God gives us his word. We come to church and the pastor gives us something to do. And if we don't do it, we fail to reap the benefit of that instruction. That's why God gives us the Ten Commandments. That's why God gives us rules and regulations, not to strap us up and to keep us bound, but to give us the freedom to receive freely from him the blessing and the benefits and the things that we need, those promises, yes and amen. That's what the rules are there for. They're there to bless us and not to hinder us. So we talked about that. All right, so number one, why pray? God commands it. Number two, when we pray, we are blessed. And I just, we looked at Psalm 18. I want to look at Psalm 91 just to kind of continue because this is really important, that prayer and following in obedience. Psalm 91 says this. It says in verse 15, he or she, since I'm a female, I'll say she will call on me. And I will answer her, and I will be with her in trouble, and I will deliver her and honor her. So why pray? Number one, God commands it. Number two, when you follow that command, you're blessed. When we pray, we are blessed. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus prayed a lot. And I don't know if we necessarily think about that as often, but there are several scriptures in the Word that talk about Christ and his relationship with the Lord and how he developed that relationship. In Luke chapter 21, if you have your Bible, you can turn there. If not, we'll be able to put it on the screens. In Luke chapter 21, we see that Jesus prayed every day. Luke 21, verse 37 says this. Each day, Jesus was teaching at the temple, and each evening he went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to hear him at the temple. So each day, Jesus was teaching at the temple, and each evening, each night, he went to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives is important because you'll see that again in more passages in Luke. So Luke 22 says the same thing, verse 39. 22:39 says this, Jesus went out as usual, every day, as usual, to the Mount of Olives again, and his disciples followed him. Verse 40, on reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. And he withdrew about a stone's throw away from them, so not too far away from them, and knelt down and prayed. And for that's the story of Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. John chapter 7, again, we see the same thing. Jesus had a habit of prayer. John chapter 7, verse 53 says this. Then they all went home. Jesus had just been teaching and doing miracles. And then in verse 1 of the next chapter, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Then they all went home, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Matthew 14, again, we see Jesus, his habit of prayer. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. So over and over, we see a habit here. And we call ourselves Christians, right? So we follow the life of Jesus. And so I think that prayer is obviously something that God wants us to hone in on and to do. But sometimes for us, prayer can be difficult. And that's one thing we talked about last week. Prayer can be hard because maybe you haven't prayed a lot, and so you don't know where to start. Or sometimes you might be going through something and you don't know what to say because you know the Word says that God's going to answer you when you pray, and he hears you when you call, and that his promises, like we sang this morning, are yes, and all we have to do is say amen, yeah, so let it be. But maybe you've been praying about something and it hasn't happened. Maybe you've been praying for a long time and you haven't seen that result. Maybe you've been trying to really, Lord, I just want to feel you, but you haven't felt him. I've been there. Last week I told the story about when I turned 18 and I started to question my faith. And I said, you know, I really experienced church. I'm a Southern girl. I know how to go to church, right? But I hadn't experienced Jesus for myself. I had a grandfather that when we would come home from church or even during the middle of the school week, he would be in his library weeping before the Lord. I mean, straight snot tears. And I'd be like, what is going on with Grandpa today? He would have books and they would just be highlighted and lined with his red pen, and he'd be circling stuff. And every time we'd go somewhere, he'd be embarrassing because he'd be talking to somebody about Jesus. And do you know Jesus? And the Lord is so good. And this is the day that the Lord has made. And as a child, that was very embarrassing because I wasn't used to that. I didn't understand how God could have affected him the way that he did. But the older I got and the more I started to question, okay, Lord, what is the difference between what he's experiencing and what I'm experiencing? We're going to the same church. We're singing the same songs, hearing the same messages, and I'm not really being affected the way that he is. And what I realized was that, yeah, I had been trained and had experienced the program of church, the protocol of church, but I had not experienced the relationship with Jesus Christ and God my Father. And so I believe that through prayer, we can get that. Through conversation with God, we can really experience that. But like I said, prayer is not a given. That's what we talked about last week. You have to learn. The disciples asked Jesus the same thing. Lord, teach us how to pray. And don't you think that that's interesting? Because the disciples were Jewish. They grew up memorizing the Bible from, I don't know, by the time they were, how old were they? By 5, they could recite the Bible. So they knew, they were religious. They knew exactly what to do. They knew how to pray according to the scripture. But Jesus must have been doing something that was different than what they had been taught. He must have been having some type of experience that was different and that they wanted more of. And so that's what we're talking about this week over these last 2 weeks. We've been talking about why we should pray and why prayer is so important. Okay, I'm like going all over the place, Pete, so I apologize. Pete, if you can look for Psalm 23, I want to talk about one thing. And so we've looked at this. Jesus obviously had a habit of prayer. I just showed you that. He prayed every day. Every time he was always going to be by himself. And I'm sure the disciples were like, what's Jesus doing up there on the Mount of Olives? Psalm 23 says this: the Lord is my shepherd, and I lack nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet and still waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. A lot of us have memorized that if you've been in Sunday school or been in church for a while. A few years back, I was listening to something, and the young woman that I was listening to said, don't you notice how God is the one that's actually doing all this? And I'm like, yeah, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. We say it flippantly, maybe, casually, because we've learned it. But when you read it and you think to yourself, the Lord is my shepherd, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still and quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I think to myself, gosh, man, God's doing all the work. But then when we're talking about prayer and we're thinking about Jesus constantly going to the Mount of Olives and constantly getting alone in prayer, how is it that this scripture can be a blessing to us and become really fruitful and we can see it in our lives if we don't ever talk to God? How can God lead me to green pastures and make me lie down when I'm stressed and give me peace? How is he going to lead me to still and quiet waters if I've never talked to him, if I'm never in a relationship with him? How can he refresh my soul if I don't ever go to him to get that refreshing? How can he guide me when I need direction on the path of righteousness if, man, he barely even knows my voice? How can that happen? And so when I look at Psalm 23, I think, man, Lord, thank you for restoring us and leading us and giving us peace. But then I'm also convicted when days go by or weeks go by where I haven't really spent time in prayer to get that refreshing, to get that peace, and to get the leadership that I need so I can figure out the right way to go. And so when we look again at Luke and in Matthew, where it says over and over, man, every day Jesus, he would teach, and then in the evening, he'd go out on the hill and pray. Or as usual, Jesus was praying, and the disciples were trying to figure out where he was, and they all went home, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. I started questioning that. Again, I told you I like to ask a lot of questions, and I asked God a lot of questions. And I think that it wasn't just Jesus trying to lead by example. I think he needed to go and pray every day, because God was beginning to reveal to him what God's will was for his life. And that was a tough pill to swallow, because you have to remember, just because Jesus was God, he was also man. He also dealt with the same emotions that we deal with, the same fears that we dealt with. Luckily, he was able to overcome them and to, by the Holy Spirit, press through and do what God had called him to do. But I honestly believe that each day that Jesus taught, he poured out and he needed to fill himself back up. And through that time spent with the Lord on that mountain, through that time spent with the Lord in conversation, listening, not just talking and saying, here's my list of things that I need. There you go. Thank you. I'll just be waiting for you to do that. I think it was a lot more than that. I think it was, Lord, you're going to have to help me deal with these people, number one. Lord, Jesus is talking to the Father like, okay, this was a tough day. Or, okay, now you've been alluding to what the future lies for me. Lord, help me. And we see that in the Garden of Gethsemane. If you've been in church for a while and you've heard about that, Jesus is basically pleading with the Lord, I don't know if I really want to do this, if I can handle this. But God, not my will, but your will be done. So Jesus had a relationship with the Lord. Jesus had a communication with the Lord. He talked to the Lord. He allowed the Lord to restore him. We saw that in Psalm 23. He refreshes my soul. When you look at the actual dictionary definition of refresh, it means to restore strength or animation to update or renew. So, you know, like if we refresh a page on the internet and on the computer, or if we go to a spa day and get refreshed, we feel like our old self again. You know, we get renewed. When you look at the Hebrew word of restore or renew or refresh that we see in Psalm 23, it literally means to return or turn back to its original place or state of being. So prayer is powerful, because when we choose to pray and communicate with God, we're turning back from our sin and from our wicked ways and turning back to God. We're returning from any stress that we might be under or any worry that we might be under and going back to the only person who could help us get out of that situation. It's so important that we pray. Why pray? Yeah, God commands it. But when we pray, when we're obedient in prayer, we receive that blessing of refreshing. We receive that blessing of peace. We receive that blessing of reassuring me that the purpose that you have in my life, I can do this. And when we think of comparing ourselves to Jesus, we're like, okay, I'm not Jesus. There's no way I would die for anyone. I couldn't do that. But think about anything in your life that God's purposed you to do. Maybe you've got a dream to be an entrepreneur. Maybe you have your own business, and there are days you're like, I don't know if this is going to work out. When you go to God in prayer, if he's really called you to do that, in prayer, you get restored. In prayer, he turns you back to the vision. He turns you back to the purpose that he's put in your heart, and then you can get out of prayer, and you're like, all right, I can do this. And maybe 30 minutes later, you get stressed out. Go back to God in prayer. That's what it's about. I can believe that towards the end of Jesus' life, he was constantly turning back to the Lord, like, now you sure about this? Okay, let me keep going. Because God had called him. He was sure of the purpose. He was sure of the end goal. But how to get there was a little, it was touch and go. And I feel like we all go through that. You know, Jana and I have been talking a lot lately about being a stay-at-home mom. And prior to having kids, me staying anywhere, being still, it's not my personality. It wasn't. But I really felt called to this season, to being Kevin's wife and Christina and now Rachel's mom. And even multiple times a day, I have to think, what is my purpose right now? Because I'm constantly looking on the other side, looking at the other grass next door, thinking, oh, I could be doing that. Mm-hmm. But when I come to God in prayer, he reminds me, this is what you're supposed to be doing right now. Here's the strength that you need to get through it. Here's the peace that you need. And he even lets me see a little glimpse of the future, of the result that's going to happen when I'm obedient to do what it is that he's leading me to do. And so I just want to encourage you this morning, just like Jesus, because you've got to think, he had to have known. He did know what the future lied for him. And he went to God in prayer every day and every night, not just because he was trying to lead us, but because he needed that time. He needed to be refreshed. He needed to be restored so he could return back to God and return to the purpose, return to the goal. Don't give up on the goal. Don't give up on the dream that God has put on the inside of you. But, you know, when we decided to plant this church like crazy people, they kept telling us that in our training, because we're a part of ARC, which is the Association of Related Churches. And they said, if God's put a dream in your heart to help other people reach their dream, don't you ever give up on that. Never lose sight of the goal. And how can you never lose sight of it? If you keep going back to the person that can keep you focused, to the person that can calm you and make you to lie down. I read that a lot. Lord, make me to lie down by green pastures. Slow me down so I don't lose sight of the dream of the goal. Okay, I'm done. That's really important. Why do we pray? We pray because when we are obedient to pray, we get blessed. So number three, why pray? It develops your relationship with God. We just talked about that. Jesus and God had a communication, a dialogue. Everyone in the Bible, we see Moses, Abraham, Joseph, spoke with God. They heard from God. They had a back and forth. Why is communication important to a relationship? Well, without communication, you don't have a relationship. Without communication, without contact with your spouse, with your parents, with your kids, even with your coworkers or your boss, if y'all never communicate, what kind of relationship is that? It's not a healthy one. And so we said, why pray? Because it develops your relationship. And lastly, last week, we said, why pray? Because you can. A few weeks ago, Jamar gave an excellent example of what life was like in the Old Testament. And he said, people didn't have direct communication with God. There were only a few select people that had that. Everybody else had to go through somebody. They had to come to the priest several times a year or once a year whenever they needed to get forgiven for their sins. They had to then lay their hands on an animal and keep their hand on the animal while the animal was being slaughtered. The blood gets on them, and that was the remission of sin for them for that year. But then what happens when the priest sins? Who's there for him? Okay, so they didn't have a relationship. They could just talk to God the way that we do now. And so we said last week, the last thing that's the most important, we pray because we can. Because of Jesus, we have that opportunity. And we talked about God giving us the keys to the kingdom and that we have everything that we need now to have access to having those prayers, answers, and those things, those questions that we've got answered for us. But the question is, are we asking God? Are we seeking God? Are we knocking on the door and allowing him to answer that for us? So that's how we ended last week with talking about faith without prayer is futile. And I said, faith without prayer is futile. What does futile mean? It means incapable of producing results. It's pointless. It's pointless to say, and I know this may seem harsh, but it's pointless to say that you're a Christ follower and you believe in God and God is faithful if you never give God an opportunity to be faithful in your life. If you never give God a chance to lead you to a place where he can bless you. Your faith without a communication with the Lord, without dialogue, without a real relationship with him is only going to do anything but send you to heaven because you believe in Jesus. But there's so much more than that. There's so much life here on earth. Jesus says that he came to give us life and life more abundantly. But if we never tap into him, if we never allow Jesus into our life so he can access that and give us life, then we don't get to experience that. Amen? I mean, all right, so that was last week. Sorry, honey, that was a long intro. Okay, so this week, how do we actually pray? Now, in the practical sense, prayer can happen in a number of ways. I'm a talker. I talk a lot. I like to talk. I like the sound of my voice. That's sad. It is what it is. I think it's because I'm an only child and I talk to myself a lot because I didn't have any siblings and my mom thought I had a lot of imaginary friends. It's fine. It's fine. I just got used to it. I like to talk. So when I'm in prayer, it's just like this. It's literally me running my mouth. And my kid was like, who are you talking to in there? Jesus. That's it. So that's me. That's my prayer. Everybody's not like that. Kevin is very quiet. When we started dating, I was like, I don't know, this is going to work. A, I could not hear him on the phone. He talks so soft. And I prayed about that, actually. I had a conversation with the Lord. I cannot hear him. If this is you, Lord, help me. The Lord really helped me because I need to learn how to listen. So I have learned to stop talking and listen. Amen. I needed to learn that. I'm a talker. Everybody's not like that. Some people are very, introspective. And so prayer can happen through just listening and just praying on the inside. There's a story in the Bible about Hannah, and she really, really, really wanted a son. And she was really praying in her heart quietly to the Lord, so much so her lips were moving, but nothing was happening. And the priest thought she was drunk. I mean, but she was just, that's how fervently she just really wanted this thing. But she was praying in her heart. You couldn't hear her. That's prayer. Prayer can be silent. Prayer can be through writing. You can write your prayers out. You don't have to speak them out. But the power is in what's actually being said, whether you verbally say it or you write it out. And sometimes prayer is silence. Prayer is just listening. And so, like we looked at Psalm 23, how can God lead you and do all these things for you if you never take time to actually, A, ask him a question, but B, listen? And so I know that then the next question is, well, how do I even know if God is speaking? I get that question a lot. And to be honest with you, there's a number of ways you can learn his voice, because you do have to learn his voice. Just like the disciples had to learn how to pray in a way that was like effective and where they could feel it, we've got to learn God's voice. Number one, you learn it through coming to church and connecting with other men and women of God who are trying to do the same thing as you. You get in his word, start to learn what his promises are. If someone, Tiffany said today, okay, I want you guys to raise your hands and just speak God's promises over your life. But there may be some in this room who don't even know what those promises are. Getting in the Bible and starting to learn what God has promised you is a key to learning his voice. You learn how would God respond to a certain situation. What is God's character? And listen, technology is on our side. You need to know a scripture about being stressed out. You can literally just write in, I need a scripture because I'm stressed, or peace scriptures, or frustration scriptures, or scriptures about dealing with pornography or dealing with any type of sin. We have got technology on our side. You do not even have to have a physical Bible to help you to begin to jump into God's word. So I just want to encourage you in that. So in the practical way, prayer is sitting quiet. You can walk. You can do it while you drive. The car for me is my sanctuary when there's no kids in it. But even when they're in it, I'll just turn the music up. Worship is a form of prayer. I mean, I will turn up a certain song and just, if I'm really listening to the music and listening to the lyrics, it will take me to another place. And that's a form of prayer. So from a practical side, there's so many different ways to pray. And what does prayer look like? I've already kind of demonstrated it for you. Just like I'm talking to you, this is exactly how I talk to God. It's conversational. Sometimes prayer is, it's reciting scripture. It's reciting things. It can be chanty. So like you can take a scripture. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Lord, I thank you that you are my shepherd. I thank you that you take care of me. You provide for me, that you're looking out for wolves that may be coming my way. Thank you for being my shepherd. I shall not want. I lack nothing. Lord, I thank you that I lack nothing. I just prayed the first verse of Psalm 23. That's a perfect way. also to get that word in you, for you to get comfortable with the word. That's really called meditation, where you chew the word up, you say it in different ways so that it starts to get into your heart. That's a good practice for understanding and beginning to hear God. What does prayer feel like? I think prayer is a very vulnerable thing, because you're choosing to quiet yourself, you're choosing to sit down. And to be honest, in the world that we live in, silence can be deafening. Sitting and being still and not fidgeting with something, or not having music going or the TV going, or really just having a quiet moment, can be very vulnerable and it can be scary. Some people don't even want to really address their thoughts. But I believe that God wants us in that vulnerable place so that walls can be down, so that we can actually begin to hear from him. That's why meditation is so powerful. Taking time to sit and quiet yourself and focus on your breathing, breathing in and breathing out, focusing on your thoughts is really powerful. For me in prayer, yes, I do talk a lot, but I usually start with meditation. I start with deep breaths, and I start with getting myself together and really getting my thoughts clear so I can begin to hear from the Lord and also talk to him. So those are just some practical things I wanted to say. As we go through 21 days of prayer, we've got, 14 days left, another 2 weeks left. And so I just want to give you some ways so that the next 14 days are fruitful for you, so they're not futile, that you actually get something out of them. Okay, so that's that. So I wanted to talk about something that's really important, that when you pray, some things that we need to make sure we're praying in. Number one, we pray in Christ. Now, we say this all the time, in Jesus' name we pray, but do you really actually understand why you do that? Again, like I said last week, I ask a lot of questions. And when we were in Bible school, I know I was driving my husband crazy because I have a different relationship with the Lord, a different story. Kevin grew up, before he got out the womb, just full of the Holy Ghost and just on fire. He grew up with his grandmother taking him to prayer before he could speak, and old ladies praying over him and stuff like that. So he's just got a different experience. He knows things that I just didn't know. So when we got to Bible college, I was asking all sorts of questions and questioning my professors and looking in the Bible to make sure it was real. And I encourage everyone to be like that. I said last week, do not take anything that I say or anything that Pastor Kevin says as word. Look in the word for yourself and make sure that this is what God says, because the word is the power, not the person, but the word that's coming forth. So I just said that. All right, so number one, how do we pray? We pray in Christ. Jesus' death on the cross was amazing. He died for our sins. Hallelujah. Thank God for it, okay? We wear our crosses. We sing songs about the old rugged cross, and that's really important. We cannot lose sight of the power of the cross. But that was really just the beginning of our relationship with the Lord, not the end. The beginning started when he left the earth and said, wait here for a few moments. I'm going to give you something that's going to help you live your life without me. You're going to do greater works than me when the Holy Spirit comes. So number one, we pray in Jesus Christ because of what he did for us and for the life that he gave us. I want to read a little excerpt from a book called Prayer by Timothy Keller. There's actually a prayer devotional on the YouVersion Bible app. If you just type in prayer or 14 days of prayer, it's little excerpts from this book by Timothy Keller. He's a great author. And it says this: the power of our prayers lies not primarily in our effort and striving or in any technique, but rather in our knowledge of God. But then you may respond, but God spoke audible words to Job out of a storm. Man, I wish God spoke to me like that. Well, the answer is this: we've got something better and an incalculable, more clear expression of God's character. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. That's in Hebrews chapter 1. Jesus Christ is the word of God. In John, the first chapter, says that Jesus is the word and he was God and he was with God, that Jesus is literally in bodily form the word of God. Now, Jesus is the word of God because no comprehensive, no personal, no more beautiful communication of God is possible. We cannot look directly at the sun with our eyes. The glory of it would immediately overwhelm and destroy our sight. We have to look at it through a filter, and then we can see the great flames and colors of it. When we look at Jesus Christ, as he's shown up to us in the scriptures, we're looking at the glory of God through the filter of a human nature. This is one of many reasons why we as Christians should pray in Jesus' name, because it's through Christ prayer becomes what many say is an earnest and familiar talking with the Lord. Through Jesus Christ, it becomes an intimate conversation of believers with God, or elsewhere, a communion with men and God. Through Jesus Christ, we now have access to the Father through one Spirit. And so I want to look at a scripture that talks about what happens when we pray in Him. What are we saying when we pray in Christ? In Ephesians chapter 1, it says this. And this is just to let you know, this is something that there's a period of time in my life where I would confess this. I would actually take this scripture that we're about to read and put my name in it just to help me know, what do I have in Christ? Because if you're going to pray in Jesus' name, I think you need to know why you're doing that. I'm really big on that. Again, I'm tired of doing church. I really want to know why I'm getting up on a Sunday morning when I could be sleeping in. And this is why. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in every heavenly realm and every spiritual blessing in Christ. So in Christ, we've got everything that we need in Christ. Verse 4, for he chose us in him. In Christ, we've been chosen. In Christ, you're no longer rejected. You're not the last person they pick on the team. In Christ, you've been chosen. God has a purpose for your life. Verse 4, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship, or to be heirs through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will for us, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. So what do we get? We get grace in the one that God loves, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 7, in him, in Jesus, we have the redemption of our sins through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he's lavished on us. In him, we have understanding. With all understanding and wisdom, he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. In Christ, we can know God's purpose for our life. In Christ, we can know the thing that seems mysterious and we lack understanding. In Christ, we can have that, which he purposed for us in Christ to put into effect when the time reaches its fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and under earth under Christ. All right, so verse 11. In him, we were also chosen. Again, we're not rejected. God has chosen us, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And here they're talking about those that God first called, those who were Jewish. But then verse 13 talks about the Greeks or the Gentiles, and that's us. And you were also included in Christ, when you heard the message of truth, when you heard the gospel for the first time and you said yes to the Lord, the gospel of salvation, when you believed, you were marked in him, in Christ, with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit. The Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance that is to come unto the redemption of those who were God's possession. So in Christ, we are marked with something that says, that's my daughter. We're marked with the Holy Spirit that says, that's my son. We're marked with the Holy Spirit that says, when she prays in Jesus' name, all of these things are confirmed, that you're chosen, that you're blessed, that you have everything that you need, that you're forgiven, that you're no longer lonely, but that you're in the family of Christ, that you've been chosen to receive an inheritance that's bigger than anything you could ever think or ask. How do we pray? We pray in Jesus' name. That's the power. And that's something that you need to know, because when we're praying and we're struggling to think if God is really hearing us or if he's going to answer our prayer, when you know that you're praying in something that's powerful, like Pastor Kevin said when he came up, there's power in the name of Jesus. When you know that you're doing that, it just gives you a confidence like no other. Like if you've ever worked for someone and your boss gives you their corporate card or they ask you to go do something in their name, you're not just going on your own. I'm not just going as Drea. I'm going as Drea representing someone else that has a lot more power and a lot more authority than me. So when we pray in Jesus' name, we're going to the Father with the power that Jesus has given us. And we're saying, hey, he said I could ask for this. He said I could get this peace. He said I could get this healing. He said I could get this clarity because I don't know what decision to make. I'm praying in Jesus' name, the person that was perfect, the person that took my sins upon him and wasn't flawed. He didn't deserve that. I'm praying in his name and his power and his authority. Amen? All right. So we pray in Jesus' name. And we pray again, number two, in faith. Now, I think this is my last point of the day, and it's paramount to our faith. Faith is so important. What we believe is so important. And like I said before, without prayer, your faith is futile. But without really believing in all of these promises that we've been talking about, without really believing who Jesus is and that God is real and that he's there for you, none of the things that you pray are really going to be effective. Okay, so we're about to jump into that. Mark 11, 22 says this. Have faith in God, Jesus says. Believe in God. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go and throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for you. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe it. Believe that you've received it, and it will be yours. When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone or they against you, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you of your sins. Have faith in God. Do not doubt. Believe in your heart. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, we live by faith. We live by what we believe, not by what we see. John 3, 16, most of us should know that one. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life or eternal life. Hebrews 11, 6 says, and now without faith, without believing, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. But not only that, you've got to believe that he's going to reward you for seeking him. Faith, believe. What do you believe? When you came into this room, I highly doubt that you hyper-examined these chairs. You just sat down. You got into your car this morning. I seriously doubt you did the 5-10-point check where you check everything to make sure everything's working. You just hopped in the car, turned the car on. You expected it to turn on. You trusted, you believed, you had faith when you left the dealership that whoever put this car together, that the engineers, the mechanics, knew what they were doing when they sold you that car, when they put this chair together. When you came here today, our website said our service starts at 10. You had faith and trust to believe that we were going to be here at 10. Blind faith. That's what God's looking for, okay? He's looking for that childlike, blind faith, the same faith you use when you jump in the car. You're not thinking twice that the battery's not going to turn on the car. You're not thinking that. You're not thinking that that chair's about to fall apart as soon as you sit on it. It's you trust it. Why? A, you've experienced through life, this is how chairs work. You've experienced that. You've experienced faithfully that your car is constantly going to work. Faith is what we're praying in. Without faith, without believing that God is going to answer your prayers, it's going to be really difficult for you to follow all these things we've been talking about if you don't believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Not just please him, it's impossible for him to answer your prayers if you don't believe. Now, God is gracious, and he meets us where we are. So I'm not saying nothing will ever happen for you, but I want to encourage you, have faith in God. Believe. Don't doubt. And when you start to doubt, go to him so you can get restored and get refreshed so he can turn you back to believing. Without faith, it's impossible to receive. Without believing, it's impossible to really get all that God wants to get through you, through our relationship, through Jesus Christ. The number one thing that God asks us to do is believe. Yeah, it's be obedient, but what he wants you to be obedient to is believing in him. Amen? And so sometimes that's hard, and I feel like I may be beating a dead horse, but I deal with this every day. I will literally pray something and ask God for something and even see a scripture that says, yep, he's going to do that, and immediately start to worry about it as soon as I'm out of that prayer session. I do that. I'm just being transparent right now. And so I have to say to myself, God, what are you asking me? Can you just trust me? Can you just believe? Can you trust what my word says? The number one thing God asks for us is to believe. And how we live our lives should reflect that. Like I said before, when you came in, you trusted that these chairs are going to work. When you got in your car, you trusted that that car was going to work. Because you believe, what you actually did reflected your belief. And so I want you to think about that for your own personal life and think to yourself, okay, man, do I treat God the same way that I do with things that I don't even think about? I don't think about it when I get in the car and turn on. I just expect it to turn on. I don't think about when I sit in this chair that this chair is going to work. Oh, my God, is this chair going to work? Is this chair going to work? Is this chair going to fall? Do I do that? But we do that with God. I do that. Lord, I know I prayed this prayer, and I know you're going to do it. But when are you going to do it? Are you going to do it now? Are you going to do it in a few minutes? And when is that going to happen? Oh, okay. Let's just talk about this one more time. Now, did you hear me when I said, because you know the due date on the bill is tomorrow. So I'm just, we do that. Why do we do that? Because fear. There's so many things that keep us afraid. There are so many things that keep us from wondering, man, okay, what if I pray? And what if I believe? Is it really going to happen? Okay. What if I let go of my will and let your will be done? What if it doesn't work? What if I fail? What if I'm unsuccessful? Those are the things that go through our minds. And I listen, I'm telling you, last week I said I'm a recovering worrier. I am. I'm trying really hard to not be like that. But God is faithful. We looked at the Psalms. You will call to me. I will answer you. I am going to do what I said that I will do. The only thing I'm asking you to do is to believe. The reason why the children of Israel never made it to Canaan and a whole generation of them had to die and their children got to make it is because they didn't believe. They kept going through the cycle of, oh, yeah, I got you. I'm good. You're taking too long. All right, so now I'm going to do this on my own. Oh, man, this is not working. Okay, Lord, take me back again. And again and again. And we don't have to go through that. We've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us to believe, to help us when we're doubting, to help us have peace, to help us be led by the still waters and to get refreshed. And so I just want to encourage you guys today as we go through these next 2 weeks of this 21 days of prayer, so the next 14 days of prayer, to just go before God. No matter where you are in this, no matter where you are on the belief spectrum, you may be way over here full of faith. Can't nobody stop you. You about to do this thing. Go, girl, go. You may be over there. You may be way over here. Lord, can you just help me get to the next step? That I don't care where you are. God doesn't care where you are. He just wants you to start. He just wants you to get quiet and just try. He just wants you to just start anywhere. It's my grandfather said this, and I'll close. Well, he did this. He had a jar full of mustard seeds. I totally should have brought it. I didn't think about it until now. Sorry, guys. But it was this little jar, and it was full of mustard seeds. He always used to say, he gave this to me when I left for college. He said, faith this size, and it's teeny, man. It's so small. Just this much faith. God can use that. It can change any situation. It can bring you out of anything that you're going through. You just got to try. You just got to believe. Take that little bit of belief that you have and give it to God and let him do the rest. Amen? All right, let's pray.
Thank you for checking out this message from City Heart Church. If you'd like to hear more from this series, or if you'd like to hear more about our church, you can check us out online at cityheartjackson.com, or you can check us out on social media at cityheartjxn.